Hey, this is Walter Garrison, the host of Locavore on CFRU 93.3 FM on St. Patrick's Day, Thursday, March 17th, 2011. Have a green beer for me, please. I'd also like to send out my condolences to the people of Japan, and I think at the University Center today at Guelph, there's going to be an opportunity for people to make donations to various relief agencies. That's in the University Center at the University of Guelph today. So I'm going to conduct an interview with Martin DeGroot from Mapleton's Organic, and they are a farm which crafts their own ice cream in an organic dairy located right on the site of the farm. Their cows are raised with care, and they provide the fresh organic milk and the cream that makes their ice cream so delicious. And I've had their dandelion ice cream, and it's absolutely awesome. Just like to say one thing. I'd like to hear, while the interview's going on, I'd like to hear from listeners to this show. So if you could call in at 519-837-CFRU during the next 20-25 minutes. That's 519-837-2378. I'd like to get feedback from the listeners and hear what people would like me to talk about in upcoming shows. Okay. This is Walter Garrison, the host of Locavore on CFRU 93.3 FM. Today I'll be talking with Martin DeGroot, the owner and operator of Mapleton's Organic, a farm that has a processing plant. And in that processing plant, Mapleton's produces ice cream, frozen yogurt, and ice cream cakes. The ice cream and the frozen yogurt come in several flavors. Martin will be discussing with us the steps that he has taken to convert his operation from conventional farming to certified organic farming, the development of his processing facility, and the different products that he makes. In the first part of our interview, Martin DeGroot talks about how he started up Mapleton's Organic, how he converted from conventional dairy production to certified organic production. He also discusses the different flavors of ice cream that he makes and the other different dairy products that Mapleton's Organic produces. And he talks about why it is very important that young children actually have fat in dairy products that they consume. He discusses the ingredients that Mapleton's Organic uses and how important it is that Mapleton's is a local and a certified organic producer. So I'm talking with Martin DeGroot from Mapleton's Organic. And Martin, I wondered if you could tell us how Mapleton's Organic started and how it developed.
Well, that's a long story, but I'll try to keep it short. It all started in 1980 when we immigrated from Holland to Canada to the present location. At that time, it was a conventional 250-acre, 50-cow dairy farm. Especially under pressure from my wife, and I'm very thankful for that, in the late 80s we decided to go organic. And in 1990 we had our first crop certified organic. A couple of years later we got the milk certified organic as well. And for a little while we shipped organic milk to a cooperative. But then we decided we wanted to process the milk ourselves right on the farm. So in 1999, we built a small dairy processing plant right on the farm, and that's how Mapleton's Organic Dairy was born.
Can you describe the products that you make?
Well, we make a quite a few different products, especially ice cream in all kinds of different flavors. Then we make frozen yogurt, which is a very unique product. It's the only real frozen yogurt on the market because we make it from the skim milk. The skim milk is made into real yogurt, and that forms the basis of the frozen yogurt. It still has the live culture with the Acidophilus and Bifidus bacteria in it. Since we start with the milk from the cows, we take the cream off for making the ice cream, and then you end up with a lot of skim milk. So part of that is used for the frozen yogurt. But then we still had a surplus of skim milk, and we decided a couple of years later to start making fresh yogurt, fat-free, which we make in different flavors. Was well received by the market, but there was also some concern, especially from my side, when I saw all those concerned young mothers with little children feeding fat-free organic yogurt to their children. Children especially, but even adults, need a certain amount of fat in their diet, good fats, dairy fats that help with the absorption of the calcium and the vitamins, and children especially need that fat also for brain development. So then we started to make what we call whole milk yogurt. It's the milk from the cows, and the only thing we do with it is we pasteurize it, but we don't homogenize it, so we don't break the fat globules in the milk in tiny pieces. And if you don't do that and you set the yogurt in the cup, then the cream slowly floats to the top, and once the yogurt is set, you have a very nice layer of cream on top of the yogurt. And for me, it's the best yogurt you can make. I have it every morning for breakfast.
Well, I didn't realize there was so much involved in the yogurt making process, so this is really makes me want to research yogurt and yogurt production more, just to understand why you're doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And obviously it makes a lot of sense when you talk about people, especially children, having foods with some fat content. I think that's very important. I think we often overlook that in society.
Yeah.
Could you describe, more of a selfish question, because I love ice cream, just the basics of your ice cream production process?
Well, our ice cream actually is very simple. If you look on the ingredients, let's say today we're going to make vanilla ice cream, then the milk from the barn, from the cows, comes in the plant. We put it through a cream separator, take the cream out, and then the cream is used for the ice cream. All we add to it is eggs from our own chickens. Then we use a dehydrated organic cane juice and an organic vanilla, and a tiny bit of a certified organic guar gum as a stabilizer for the ice cream to be able to travel. If we would sell all the ice cream right off the farm, then we even didn't have to use that. But as you see, it's basically only four ingredients, and everybody who does some shopping and you look at the ingredients list of some of the cheaper ice creams, the list is very long, and you almost have to be a scientist to understand mm-hmm. what they put all in there.
Now, you have some unusual flavors in pumpkin and dandelion, and I tried the dandelion at Hillside, and it was excellent. Now, I got a little bit of anise flavor off of that. I really liked it. Do you think you're going to continue this trend in using interesting ingredients in developing new flavored ice creams?
Yeah, we keep trying doing that. I think we have some interesting flavors. In the fall, we always make pumpkin ice creams. So we grow the pumpkins ourselves out in the field, and then we puree the pumpkins, and they go in the ice cream. For Christmas this year, we made a candy cane ice cream. We were able to source certified organic candy cane. We also made a Bailey's ice cream, very special for Christmas, which we only sold off the farm, and we had to ask people for proof of age, otherwise we couldn't sell it to them. So yeah, that's the fun part of ice cream. You always can develop new flavors, and we're always looking for new flavors.
Well, it's interesting you talk about seasonality, and we really don't think about that with ice cream. I used to work as a commercial brewer, and we would come out with seasonal beers. You know, obviously, probably the most famous example is, of course, an Oktoberfest beer. But I'm wondering if you see that as something that might be a trend that could continue to grow, especially with what you're doing?
Definitely, and we started it actually last year. We developed a new container, and it says on the site, seasonal special or seasonal flavor. And then we just, through the season, we change the lid. So with Christmas, we have a candy cane. This spring, we're going to come out with the dandelion in small cups. Next fall, definitely, we'll bring out the pumpkin in the small containers for the retail, so all the other stores will be able to buy it as well. well.
So who are your clients? I guess both on site of the farm, but also off-site at the stores that distribute your ice cream products?
Yeah. Well, when we started, and the organic market has grown and expanded tremendously the last 10 years, but when we started 10 years ago, we started out mainly with the health food stores and specialty stores. And gradually, we keep getting more stores, bigger stores, small chains, and also some of the bigger chains have picked up our products.
How important is it to your customers that you are certified organic and that you're a local producer as well?
Well, local has become extremely important the last couple of years, not only for the consumer but also for ourselves. We really see the benefits to the environment and to feed people properly. We see the benefits of creating a local food system. We still sell our ice cream all across Canada, but hopefully in the future we are working hard on selling everything as close to home as possible, so have less trucking, less environmental issues, etc. And that's where we work together with the consumer, because that's what a large percentage of the population is aware of it now as well, that we can work hand in hand to create a very sustainable local food system.
Do you think that you're going to incorporate more local ingredients into your future products as well?
We're trying to. There is always the financial constraint. Our strawberries in the strawberry ice cream and strawberry yogurts are not local, unfortunately, and they're just not available. But we know lots of young farmers, not young farmers, young people want to get back into agriculture, and I think there are great opportunities for them as well in the future to work with us and for us to supply us with locally grown fruits that we can use.
In the second part of our interview, Martin talks about the steps he has taken in order to make Mapleton's Organic a more sustainable operation. He talks about reducing external energy inputs on site of his operation, and he talks about how truly local the ice cream that he produces is when you look at the ingredients that he uses. He also talks about some very smart marketing that he uses and a new trend that he sees in the yogurt industry. Martin, I'd like to ask you, how do you incorporate sustainability into your operation from a production standpoint and from an economic standpoint?
Well, from a production standpoint, by going organic, we cut out a tremendous amount of outside energy input into the farm.
Okay.
Conventional farmers use lots of fertilizers, especially nitrogen fertilizer, which takes a tremendous amount of energy to be produced, and the only way we can do that is with natural gas. So by not bringing in a lot of outside inputs, we make the farm more self-sustainable. So then we also try to do that in the whole production end, like the plant and the store in the office, for instance, don't have any outside heat sources. We recycle heat that comes from the pasteurization of the dairy products, the cooling, etc. The cooling water is used for heating. Okay. We just installed a bunch of solar power panels to produce hot water for the dairy barn. So we're constantly looking for places where we can become more independent of outside energy input. And that's my goal with the whole operation, eventually to be totally independent of outside energy input into the farm. By going organic, by producing solar and wind power, and biodiesel fuel. And then we can do it all on the farm, and then it's only energy leaving the farm in the form of high-quality organic food and not bringing in energy from outside.
And I think it's important that we talk a little bit about your vertical integration, because all the milk that you're using to produce your products, that is on-farm?
Definitely, on-farm. Yeah. Like, we have a license for an on-farm processing plant, which means that we can't bring in milk from outside. We don't want to do that either, because we want to guarantee the consumer that the product they get is all done at Mapleton. So we grow the crop, all the feed the cows get is grown at Mapleton's. We don't bring in any feed from outside except salt and minerals. And then the milk that's produced on the farm is partly processed into ice cream and frozen yogurt. We produce more milk than Mapleton's is marketing right now, so we are still selling some organic milk to other processors.
So that must make for a higher quality product too, because in your processing, it's not being trucked, it's right there.
Yeah, like nobody, and that's our competitive edge for quality, nobody can beat us on the freshness. We have the cows there, they produce the milk, we bring it into the plant, the chickens are there, they lay their eggs, we break the eggs and put them in the ice cream. I mean, and that's a distance of 200 feet from where it's produced into the plant. So nobody,
that's
nobody.
About as local as you can get, I guess.
Nobody, yeah, nobody can beat us on that one.
Now, where can people source your products?
Well, one, you can go on our website, mapletonsorganic.ca, and there are pages on there that tells you where the stores are that carry Mapleton's products. Locally, there's quite a few stores, both here in Guelph and around Guelph, that carry Mapleton's products. We are all across Canada with the ice cream in a lot of health food stores, specialty stores, smaller chains, and some of the bigger chains.
Now, do you advertise significantly, or is it word of mouth, or how do people get to know about your products in addition to the internet?
Yeah, that's a very good question. In the beginning, when we started, nobody knew about Mapleton's, of course. So then we spent actually a lot of money just by putting ads in magazines and newspapers, which is very expensive, and we didn't know what it did for us. Right now, we spend almost 90% of our promotional advertising money on in-store demos, where we bring people in the store, give samples out, and people can buy the product. That is a very cheap way of advertising, but also an extremely efficient way of promoting your product. Besides that, we do a lot of shows. For instance, we do a hillside, outdoor farm show, well, lots of shows the whole year round. And once people taste our products, one in three, one in four comes back and say, oh, where can we buy this? So apart from hopefully making some money at those shows, it's a great promotion of the product.
In the future, what do you see as other products that you might develop to address consumer trends?
One interesting trend, and maybe it's a trade secret and I shouldn't talk about it, but I'll do it anyway. A new trend is, for instance, self-serve soft serve frozen yogurt. It started in the States and those stores start to spread. So what it is, there is a bunch of machines with soft serve frozen yogurt. People can fill their own cups or whatever and put some fruits on it so they can create their own flavor and then pay for it. So we are working on making a product that will work in those soft serve machines, because there is no organic soft serve ice cream or frozen yogurt on the market.
In the last part of our interview, Martin talks about what the organic movement has done well, how consumer awareness has changed, and the change in questions that he has received from consumers since he began organic farming. He also discusses the inherent dangers of getting too big in organic production. He offers some opportunities for people wanting to get involved in certified organic dairy production. He addresses the issue of what we should be paying for certified organic food and for good food in general. In the last 10 years, can you tell me what you think the organic movement has done well?
Awareness. I think the consumer has made great progress in being better informed and being better aware of their food, both from a nutritional point of view and an environmental point of view. So I think as an organic movement, we have done a good job educating the public. Especially the last couple of years with the 100-mile food diets in mind, local food, we have made tremendous strides in making the consumer aware of what's going on with their food. It's also interesting to see how the consumer is changing. When we started farming organically, We got mainly questions about pesticides, the environment, etc. Very little about the animals. That has turned totally around. And the highest priority for the consumer these days is the animal welfare issue. Mm. We get tremendous amount of questions about how do you house your animals? Do they go outside? Do you pasture them? What do you do with the old cows when they get transported for butcher? How long do they have to travel? Things like that. Those things have become extremely important, and quite rightly, for the consumer.
Now, where do you see the organic movement needs to improve?
Well, the organic movement is maturing, of course, and at the one side, that is good. At the other side, it brings a lot of dangers with it as well, because mainstream, everything mainstream farming, mainstream food distribution has realized that there are some potentials in organics. Some of us are jumping on the bandwagon and believe in that idea of getting bigger and bigger and bigger and growing. And it bothers me. It worries me because that way we're following the old system again that's based on growth. And as soon as you don't grow anymore, then you're in big trouble. But I think that concept is totally unsustainable. If I as a person keep growing, eventually I'll die. There is a limit to growth. Well, it's very simple, yeah. But in economics, mm-hmm. and it's a system developed by people, and I think we forget that. We think it's a natural law that says you have to grow. No, that's not true. We have to redesign the system that there is an end to growth and that we can live within the means we have and that you can survive and stay in business without growing any further.
Do you think there's a place, though, because you're very unique, at least in this part of the country, for other dairy operators to get involved with organic dairy processing and develop products like you're producing as well? Do you think there's room in the market for that?
Definitely there are. People always ask me, other dairy farmers, what are the possibilities? And I think there are endless possibilities, especially with the awareness of the consumer now who's looking for a high-quality product. 25% of the population wants to know where the food is produced, how it's produced, and by whom it's produced. And if you can tap into that, there are tremendous opportunities for on-farm processing, especially for dairy farmers in cheeses, yogurts, you name it. There are lots and lots of possibilities.
I guess one question I have on that point is that there are cases where certainly you go into the store and you compare the price of an organically produced product and a conventionally produced product, and there is a difference. Now, commodity prices, certainly the gap has narrowed recently, but I still think for some people who would like to buy organic, it may be prohibitive for them just on a daily or a weekly basis. They have to pick and choose. Is there a way that we can reconcile a grower and a processor getting a fair price for what they produce and affordability for the consumer?
Yeah, well, and that's a difficult question because in the Western world we always have had policies of cheap food. Mm-hmm. The average Canadian, I think, spends now, 12% of the disposable?
Far less than they used to, anyway.
On food. So I think we have to get used to the fact if we want to eat well, that we have to spend a little bit more on food. But finally, the authorities, we knew that for a long time, started to realize that there is a close connection between what we eat and our health. Ontario spends, I think, now $42 or $45 billion a year on healthcare. Diabetes, obesity, we know those things are rampant. A lot of those diseases are related to what we eat. So maybe we have to change the tax system a little bit and help people out to eat healthy, because that way we will get definitely our health bill down. If you see what we feed our people in the hospitals, I'm always surprised somebody still gets out of the hospital these days. For the food that's supposed to sustain them, we barely keep them alive with the food they get. So, yes, organic food is a little bit more expensive. But, again, if you take our ice cream, you don't have to eat a liter of Mapleton's ice cream. A lot less still gives you the satisfaction. And then it's not as much more expensive than some other ice creams.
I guess it really comes down to taste and flavor and the quality of the food that's there. Yep. Have you had any nutritional analysis, like comparing your ice cream to conventionally produced ice creams?
Yes. Well, our frozen yogurt, especially because it's made from skim milk, is extremely low in fat, less than 1%, and it's very low in calories. I think it's 83 calories per serving. Ice cream, there are legal requirements for ice cream. Ice cream has to have a minimum of 10% fat in it and a minimum of 35% solids. Mm-hmm. Our ice cream is just over 10%, and people never believe me because it tastes so creamy, but because the way we make it, but it's relatively speaking low in fat. Some of the more fancier ice creams out in the market are 17, 18% fat, and the solids are around 35, 36% in Mapleton's ice cream.
Okay. Well, I'd like to thank Martin DeGroot for coming in today to talk about Mapleton's Organic and everything that you do. It's been a fascinating conversation. I learned a tremendous amount, and I wish you continued good luck with your operation.
Thank you very much, and we'll keep enjoying it.
This is Walter Garrison, the host of Locavore on CFRU 93.3 FM. I hope you enjoyed the interview that I had today with Martin DeGroot from Mapleton's Organic. If you want to get in touch with them, you can go onto their webpage, and the URL is www.mapletonsorganic.ca, all lowercase. And on their webpage, you'll find a newsletter, further contact information, their location, where you can buy their products, events that Mapleton's will show up at, and a list of their products, including ice cream, frozen yogurt, yogurt, and ice cream cakes. There's also an Ask a Farmer section where they talk about certified organic production and farming in general. Thank you very much for listening.
Unembedded International Independent News Hour. Tune in Mondays through Fridays, 11 to noon, here on CFRU 93.3 FM.
From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now! As attempts to reactors at the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant continue to fail. Meanwhile, tens of thousands of people struggle to find food and shelter in areas devastated by the earthquake and tsunami. Then we turn to Libya, where the U.S. is considering airstrikes, and four reporters from the New York Times are missing. We have a report from Benghazi about Libyans who have become citizen journalists. Then we go to South Africa, where Amy Goodman is reporting on former Haitian President Jean-Bertrand Aristide's return trip to Haiti ahead of Sunday's presidential elections. He'll be joined by actor Danny Glover.
Well, I'm here to accompany my friend, President Aristide, home back to Haiti. He has been issued permission by the Haitian government to come home. He has the right to return home, and I'm here to accompany him.